As I mentioned, you know, we are in, I think, the best country in the world. Years ago, I worked with a gentleman whose parents had come over from Germany. And we're working together, and all I heard was how great the Germans were. No offense, I get myself in trouble here. But he was talking about, yeah, we're working away and how they're the best engineers and how they have the best this and best that. And finally, do you ever get to a point where you kind of bite your tongue until it starts to bleed, and then finally you got to say something? And so finally I looked and I said, if it's so great, go back. And he joked around. He looked, he goes, I love this country. He goes, don't get me wrong at all. And I do believe that because of our founding fathers, because of the religious liberties, the First Amendment, we are right to speech. We have right to assemble. We have our right to worship. And make sure you understand that, because if you listen to the media, a lot of times they'll do is portray, you have the right to your religion, right? And you have the right to do what you want in your own home. But folks, no. We have the right to live our faith every day. And as a Christian, I believe we have a responsibility to live our faith publicly in all things. And the world wants to shut us up and put us in a box. And even in the middle of this pandemic, you know, I was talking to a pastor, and some pastors are on a slightly different page, because they're like, hey, we have the right to gather. We need to fight, and we need to do this. And I look at the scriptures are real clear. It says we need to obey the authorities, Romans tells us. Until that cross is the point in which we have to choose to obey God and man. And I believe in this state, at least, we've had that freedom to gather. We've done that. Has it been the ideal? No. But we have. And we haven't been hampered as far as that goes. We've been inconvenienced? Yes. And I couldn't help but think, because I got to be careful, because I feel like I could get all worked up on all this. But what I find is often, no matter what, I think we're all going to get to the same destination. I don't know if you guys have ever been in four lanes of traffic in a traffic jam, and everyone's all trying to get to the same exit. And I feel that way. There's a lot of pastors who are trying to navigate all these things. And every traffic jam kind of has one or two guys who are kind of forcing their way in and changing lanes and honking and knowing all that. And then when it's all said and done, they're like one car ahead of you. Right? And I feel that at the end of this day, that praise God, we are getting together. I think we are going to return to a new normal at the end of this. And I think because of the church, we'll get through this stronger. I truly do. I think what's happened in all this is the doors of the church have been opened. And people, you know, a lot of people were wondering about church. What do you guys do inside that little building? Well, we're not in the building now. Now we're out in the open. People can see what we do. And hopefully when it's all said and done, when all this gets settled back in, that the testimony that we have in the world around us, that we were a power for good, for love, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of this. I hope that's where we are at the end of all this. And I'm excited. I think this is kind of shaking out a little bit the chaff from the wheat. And you know, guys, I try not to be political from the pulpit. But, with that said, I'm not saying this as a political statement. I think what this shows us truly is elections matter. Because who is in charge? We put them there. And they're making the decisions. And for me, I think it's shown who is a friend of Christ and who is a friend of the church and who is not. And I'm saying this not in a political manner at all, but I was blessed my socks off when our president here, the president of the United States, say that churches are essential. I don't think that's a political statement. That is a fact. And so I'm excited. I'm thankful. I don't know where President Trump stands as far as the Lord goes. I am convinced that his Vice President Pence is a believer and a strong Christian. And I'm thankful that he has the ear of the president. And God has been answering prayers. We've been seeing this go forward. And I don't think I've heard the name of Christ and the church pushed so much in the public square as it has been in now. So pray for those in authority over us. And because they will have to give an account to God. Now, I'm getting all worked up. Now, see, I'm on Facebook, and I see what everyone else does, and I'm like, I'm a pastor. I can't do that. I can't. So you guys are my vent this morning. Keep praying. God answers prayer. Even as simple as going forward. You know, I put a call out, with the church where we're at. Pray for 50. We will have 50 people in that building. And lo and behold, just the other day, the governor came out with 50. God answered your prayers. Don't doubt it. God answers prayer. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? That's good. All right. I'm getting feisty. I'm sorry. But I think these things are built up. I think it's an opportunity for God's people to declare themselves and not be ashamed. And this idea of Memorial Day, I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, just the first two verses, very familiar verses that many of you guys know. Hebrews chapter 12, the first two verses. And it reads this way. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. This idea of Memorial Day, this idea of remembering, is really a fundamental part of the Christian life. We are told to remember. Paul told the Corinthians that, look, all these things are written as our example. Chapter 12, back up, verse 11, is all the hall of faith. These are all those who followed God, and by faith, God did great things in them and through them. We are to remember them. Right? I am thankful that my parents taught me and brought me to Sunday school, where I learned the story of Moses in the basket, of Moses on the Ten Commandments coming down that mountain, of Elijah and Elisha, of Abraham, of Isaac, of Adam, and of Eve. I heard these stories for us to learn, to remember that we are part of this great story of faith as God has laid out over history. You're a part of that. And it's down to us now. It's our responsibility to pick up the mantle. I think of Gideon in the book of Judges, who was a timid young guy, who God called him and he hid. And he's like, God, are you sure? And God led him to great victory. Not through his power and might, but by faith in God. He had his day. A young girl named Esther had to go before the king and ask for deliverance of her people at such a time as this, the scripture says. We remember. The Lord Jesus Christ himself brought out the communion. And I'm getting things lined up. So when we get together, the first Sunday when we get together, we're going to have communion together. And Jesus says, remember, every time you do this, this is my body. This is my blood that was shed for you. We are called to remember. Remember who we are. I think one of the big tragedies, especially of the American church, is that we've kind of just blended in with the world. We don't stand out. You know, we watch what they watch, we sing what they sing, we dress like they dress, we blend right in, and oh yeah, by the way, someone might find out that, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Folks, that shouldn't be. If someone were to peruse over your Facebook page, how long would it take them to realize that you're a Christian? Your neighbor. I said, Pastor, now you're starting to meddle. Right? When your neighbor sees you out and about and you do what you do, do they know that you're a Christian? It's our turn. It's our day to pick up the mantle and let our light so shine before men. We can make a difference. Remember who we are. Remember who we belong to. Who is the one who's faithful, who carries us through? You know, so many times as Christians, we turn around and when things are tough, we turn to God. And I think we're seeing a lot of that now. There's so much uncertainty that's going on. There's financial worry. There's health issues. There's people who are afraid. And people are turning to God. My fear is when things ease back, that people are just going to go back to normal. You know, Jesus is kind of that emergency raft we pull out when we need him, and then we put it away when we don't. You know, this Memorial Day, we talk about these veterans who served, who gave their lives, that we can enjoy the freedom we have today, and how many people just take it for granted? We live in a nation where people applaud someone who burns the flag. Where we have the right to kneel and protest. Right? But these are the same people when things get tough. Cling to their freedom. Cling to their rights. It's funny, in the midst of all this, I think more people are quoting the Constitution now than ever did before. Right? We don't realize the rights we have until they're starting to be taken away. Christians, we need to be, not to be that way. Remember who we are. Remember the faith. Remember all those who've gone on before. Look back and realize it's a long lineage, a long story. The baton has been handed to us today. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? And we see God working in miraculous ways. And let me tell you something. The best way to be in God's will is find out what God is doing and jump into it. God, what are you doing? Right? Sometimes we're so self-centered. God, this is what I want you to do. Instead of saying, God, what are you doing? Let me be a part of your plan. We see this laid out, and we are at this day and age, for such a time as this, we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses, and now the baton has been passed to us. Remember the past. The second thing, now we look back, we look where we are today. Right? We talked about last week going into Peter. Who we are the elect of God. We are the chosen. You are the sons of God. I love that verse. In John chapter 1, as many as received him, he gave right to be called the sons of God. You are the child of God. He knows your name. He knows your need. Before you even have it, he knows. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And with me, that's an ever-changing number every day. He cares. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. All the things we have in Christ. Remember who you are. Remember what we have. I love the old hymn. Count your blessings, name them one by one. See, I can sing. Look, Mom, I'm on the radio. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, my daughters, if you're cringing. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Look at God's blessings through all of this. Right? Keep your identity secure in Christ Jesus going forward. And let your light so shine. Because of this, he says here in Hebrews chapter 1, Therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The purpose that we are now is to run our leg of the race. And it says, look, you know, if you're a runner, you don't put on your snow jacket and you don't put on your snow boots. You don't grab your backpack and go down the road. Right? You shed all that stuff. Why? Because it slows you down. It hampers you. It's unnecessary. In this race that we're running as Christians, folks, be careful of all this world's baggage that we grab onto, that we carry. There are things in our lives that, look, are just holding us back from our walk with the Lord. You know what? They're not profitable for us. So many Christians are satisfied by the things of this world, they're not even hungry for the things of the Spirit anymore. I think I've shared with you before, but my daughter, when she was younger, she loved the little goldfish crackers. And, okay, she says she still does. But I remember my wife left and left me with the munchkin for the day. And I found that, you know, if I just fed her goldfish, she was happy. And she realized that if she whined and complained and she cried, I would give her goldfish. So we had a working relationship going on. By the end of the day, we went through this little milk carton, like a thing of fish. My wife came home and she goes, how was the day? I said, we had a great day. So she decided she was going to make supper. So she worked hard making supper. I was starved. Wife laid down this meal that she worked hard at, all this good, healthy stuff for us. And guess what? My daughter wasn't hungry at all. And so my wife looked at me and says, what did you feed her today? I said, a few fish. Well, how many? Well, the thing was full when you started and it was almost all gone by the end of the day. Right? But she was so full of the junk that she had no room or she was even hungry for the good stuff. Folks, we're told to hunger after righteousness. As Christians, the Bible says the Word is our meat. It is our milk. It is our sustenance. And so many times we're just filled with the junk of this world that we're not even hungry for the real deal. For the stuff that satisfies. And it says here, lay aside all the weight, all these things that encumber us. To take an inventory of your life. And says, God, you know what? I'd love to serve you more. God, I would love to let my light shine. But you know, there's all this stuff that I've been carrying around. Jesus says, lay it down. The places you go, the people you're with, are they tripping you up in your walk with the Lord? Or are they glorifying you and bringing you into His presence? Pick your friends wisely. Because who they are is who you'll be. The habits and routines we have, are they bringing us closer to God or further away? And he says here, look, all these ones by faith ran the race. We have those that we talked about this morning who served our country in the military, who gave up, who left their home, who left up the comforts, who gave and sacrificed. We had a teacher in Bible school who talked about being in Russia and wrapping his feet up. He always kind of joked around because he kind of walked kind of funny. And he kind of made a joke out of it. He goes, but when he was in the trenches, his feet got so cold that actually he lost feeling in his feet. And we felt really bad making fun of him because of that. But he gave up so much. because duty called. Folks, the duty of Christ calls us to serve Him, to leave these things behind and press forward to Him. So remember the things that are behind. Remember who we are now. And lastly, looking forward. Verse 2, Hebrews chapter 12, says, looking on the Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking on the Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Folks, I'll tell you, if I just look at right here, right now, it's easy to get down, it's easy to be glum. But if I lift my eyes unto Jesus, I know where I'm going. Boy, that helps lighten the load. Puts a spring in my step. It's not the here and now, because here, right now, can kind of stink. Right here and right now can be kind of hard. You know, I'm finding out it's not always easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to be different. It's not easy to stand for your faith because the bombardment of the world is strong. But you know what? When I look to Jesus, I don't care what people think about me. I'm not pulled down by the social media. I'm not pulled down by what they say about me. I can look to Jesus who knows my name. I know where I'm going. I know all this is temporary. And because of that, I can press on. Folks, this world is not the end-all be-all. Today is just a snapshot of your life. Some of you have been around the block a few times. This week I had an opportunity to talk to a gentleman who talked about, you know, he's talking about the coronavirus. He goes, this is nothing. He goes, let me tell you about polio. Let me tell you about scarlet fever. Let me tell you, and he went through a whole list of all the things that he had gone through in his life. He goes, we went through that. We'll get through this too. But if we just look at the here and now, oh man, I will just sit on the floor and cry. But there's a better day coming. There's a day when I can look forward and see the Lord Jesus. I know that someday He'll say, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. Here's your mansion. And you know what? I don't think there's black flies in heaven. Ah. Right? There'll be no one telling us we can't sing to God. There'll be no one telling us to be quiet and keep my opinions to myself. In heaven, we'll be shouting, and you know what? I'll be shouting top of my lungs, and God's going to have to fix His vocalizer. Because I will sing on tune. And wow, I pity the person who's stuck next to me for all eternity. Once I can actually sing, right? What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. Are you looking forward to that day? No more sickness, no more death, no more goodbyes, no more sorrows, no more disappointment. What a day that will be with our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, lift up your hands. Praise Him. Exalt Him. This world is temporary. It's a bleep. And I remember hearing pastors say that, and as a kid, I felt like it was taking so long. But I found out, you know, the older you get, the faster it goes. Am I right? Yeah. Right? I don't know where it all went. And this world is just it. It's not enough. But praise God, we have an eternity. I know how the book ends. And I know who wins. It's not the evil that wins. Right? It may seem like that now. It might seem like the wrong is winning. Let me tell you, they don't win. They don't have a chance. Read the book. I see how it ends. Jesus comes on a white horse, victorious with His church, to take us home to be in glory with Him. Amen? Look forward to that day. Remember this Memorial Day. Remember those who served, who laid down their lives for this country. That we will pick up and pass that on to our next generation. As Christians, remember all those from the past who have fought the fight, who have relayed, who have been faithful, who have brought it down to us and left us the baton of faith to carry on. Remember those who were before. Remember who we are now. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember, you don't belong to this world. You don't belong to Satan. You belong to the Creator of the universe, a God who loves you, who calls you by name. You belong to Him. And remember where you're going. Remember where you're going. And who's there at the end. Looking on the Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I saw a meme online. I thought, if you guys are aware, Rabbi Zechariah passed away. Great scholar, man of the faith. And there's a picture of Jesus with Rabbi coming running at him, saying, "Welcome home." You know what? I want that. I want that. I look forward to that day when I see Jesus face to face and He opens His arms wide and says, "Welcome home." Remember. Remember those who were before. Remember who we are now and remember where we're going. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise You and exalt You, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are my Lord and You are my Savior. You've saved me from my sins. But Lord, I serve You as my King today. Lord, help me to do what You want me to do. Help me to serve You in all that I have and all that I am and all I will ever be. Today and going forward, Lord, help me to do my part for the kingdom of God. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Energize Your church. Revive us again. For Your glory. Lord, help us not to go back to the old normal, but go forward in the power and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. We're going to sing.